Welcome to this, hour 27 of Trade Center. What an abomination today was, Derek.
Are you judging trades based on quantity, based on quality, or are we doing the new math where the trade deadline is not the deadline itself, Mike? It's the 2 weeks leading up to trade deadline, including the deadline.
Derek, it's not the trade deadline. It's the friends we made along the way.
That's the real acquisition.
Like Trady. For those of you who may have watched TSN Trade Center today, there is a new mascot. They couldn't get Gritty today, so they dressed up a llama, who tackled Jeff O'Neill in the hallway for taking the last bagel, and we saw Jeff O'Neill's ass on national television. It was pixelated, but yes.
Listening to the most recent Bob McKenzie Bobcast with the likes of LeBron and Drager with him. I don't know if it's Drager. Anyway, Bob McKenzie, not a fan of the llamas. He hates the way they smell.
Have you ever smelled a llama, Derek?
No, and that sounds like a euphemism.
You know what? That may be a good Section 328 team building. We'll go to the llama farm, and we'll be like, hey, Derek, you want to smell? Let's go over to the trade desk. Meg, feedback on the llama llama farm visit.
Please, no.
And there you go. That's the analysis that you people pay good money for from At Love and Hydrogen. We know her better as Meg. You know.
You're welcome.
Yes.
So big trade deadline day. Glad we all took time away from our jobs. Well, you guys did. And, you know, really tracked everything. Got a lot of use out of that F5 button.
Yeah. Well, you took time away from your job, too. You just, you know, planned way in advance.
Yeah. Playing the long game with this one. My trade deadline started a while back.
So, folks, welcome to this, the trade deadline edition of Cheaters Never Win. Meg here in studio with us to give us all of the feedback on the Nick Patan trade. He was somebody traded to somewhere. A guy named Parr was traded somewhere. We're going to go to Meg for all of the analysis.
That trade was probably subpar.
Ah! See, that's the jokes.
All right.
They write themselves.
Who do you want in the trade? Nick Patan or a llama? fourth line
trade
winger.
A llama?
Yeah, look, that llama's going to win some board battles.
Llama versus Gritty? I mean, this is basically what happened on Trade Center today, right? Because there was Keith Kincaid got traded at like 9:30, and then there was the Kevin Hayes trade at like 11, and then virtually nothing happened until 2:45.
Pierre LeBrun tweeted about Michael Ferland a lot, so you got to keep that in mind.
No. If you haven't been following Darren Drager today, it's obviously his name's changed. He's now Mike Ferland.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay, is that spelled M-I-E-K?
Somewhere during the day, and this was just frustrating the bejesus out of me, because Darren Drager, like halfway through the day, said, yep, hearing the Canes are getting lots of calls on Mike Ferland. And I was like, who the hell is Mike Ferland?
He's the guy whose name is, you can spell Mike, okay? Michael, with the E-A, more difficult to spell, and when you're typing, and your phone autocorrects is what I'm saying. So Mike Ferland, much easier to type.
Right, but he doesn't have to type it. He's saying it to a national television audience. You're Darren Drager, for God's sakes.
You mean Dar Drager?
Dar Drager.
Gotta say what you believe.
The biggest move of the day, obviously Mark Stone not only going to Vegas, but signing an 8-year, $9.5 million extension.
To be the agreeing in principle to sign an extension.
Well, okay. It's done, Derek. But okay.
Well, it's done next week.
Yeah, right? March 1st.
Yeah.
Oh, this week. Friday.
Sure. I have no idea.
What day is it?
Yeah.
We've
February and your lack of days throwing off my counting.
We've lost all track of space and time here at the 328 Worldwide Headquarters.
Thinking about that Jerko.
That's where I was going to go, Derek. So the Canes made two moves today here for the trade deadline.
Yes,
today.
Two completely independent moves.
Yes. So, Derek, tell the people about the trades, and then we'll go back to the trade desk.
The Hurricanes acquired Tomas Yurko. I don't know how it's pronounced. Yurko. They acquired him from Florida in exchange for future considerations. which were immediately cashed in as the Florida Panthers acquired Cliff Poo for more future considerations. So, a couple questions. One, did the Canes really acquire Yurko? And two, does that mean we're still on the hook to consider Florida things in the future?
That's a good question. I also wonder that. Do we have to consider them for something in the future?
I don't know.
Actually, they are two completely independent trades. From what I heard, one did not negate the other. And I think that the key to this deal, and what everyone said, well, why are they two separate trades? Tomas Yurko does not have an NHL contract. It is only an AHL contract. He is only signed at the AHL level. So if the Canes wanted to sign him, they would have to sign him to a contract. He would then have to clear waivers to become a member of the Carolina Hurricanes. So basically what the Canes did is they freed up a contract today for when all of the real trading deadline stuff happens, which is going to be the Saturday of the Vancouver draft.
Yeah. Also, I think it made it easier if they need to, not that they're going to call anybody from Charlotte, because, you know, God forbid messing with the team chemistry, or as Meg, I'm sure we'll get to, causing someone to have a sad. But it gives Charlotte a little bit more room. Or not more room, more talent. Jesus.
More veteran leadership, Derek.
Oh, yeah.
Dare I say more grit?
I don't know. I don't know anything about this guy. Yeah.
I believe...
More jerks.
More jerks.
I believe he has the requisite number of feet that you want in a hockey player.
Tomas Yurko has, I believe, 53 points in 201 games played at some level.
I think at some point he was a mid-level-ish prospect for Detroit.
And then Chicago.
Okay, and then things just didn't really pan out, and it seems like he's probably an AHL lifer now. And not the AHL lifer with just a magical ability to score points in the AHL like Keith Acoin, but, you know, a good AHL player.
Keith Acoin. I mean, who was the kid we got from Philadelphia?
John Matsumoto?
Yes, John Matsumoto.
I remember him.
Yes, I mean, just lifelong AHL guy.
He's in Germany now, I believe.
I believe both of them have 100-point seasons in the AHL.
Neither of
what?
Neither of which have helped. But this Checkers team, building towards something, hopefully going to have a... I think we can say the Checkers are going to make the playoffs.
I mean,
they are the number one team. They are the number one team in the American Hockey League currently. They're currently kind of the Tampa Bay Lightning of the American Hockey League. So, I mean, hey, look, when Tampa won that AHL championship with John Cooper a few years ago, when Mike Vellucci wins the Stanley Cup with the Hurricanes in 2023, this is going to be huge.
Yes, sir.
I have something that may change the course of this podcast, and it's something that we kind of hinted at a little while ago off the air and talking about we could speculate on things. Corey Lavallette reporting, Gary Bettman will be at the PNC Arena and meet with media tomorrow at 5 p.m. ahead of the Canes-Kings contest.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, Derek, let us speculate. Round table. Meg, what does this mean for Raleigh?
What does that mean, though?
Perhaps he's coming to look at ye old Carter Finley.
Ooh, so what you're saying is, even though all of the Stadium Series games for next season have already been announced, another game may be coming. Wait a second. Meg works for a certain place.
Oh my God.
Meg.
Wait, narrow it down.
She's officially an insider.
Oh God.
Pack your bags, Meg.
Don't put that evil on Meg.
Pack them. Where are we going?
No, please God, stay.
Meg's left.
So, I mean, it would be for what? The 2020-21 season? So probably, you know, January of 2021. Maybe in Carter Finley. I mean, they can always add more Stadium Series games. God knows they've done that every season since they started these Stadium Series games. My other wish, and this is probably selfish, so we can be the hosts for people the way our good friends in Florida and Philly and Chicago and Dallas have done. I want that 2020 draft in Raleigh, man. I want a staycation.
They haven't announced the 2020 draft yet, have they?
Not to my knowledge.
Ooh,
that's good.
That is strong. That is strong speculation, Derek.
Thank you.
Your speculation game is strong today.
Oh, I have another speculation.
Okay.
Gary Bettman is announcing that he has invested in the AAF. He wants to join Tom Dundon in pissing money down the drain for a second-rate football league.
I don't think it's going to be a second-rate football league, but we'll leave.
Third-rate?
Yes. I'm going to go a different way. Has anybody checked to see if there is a Centennial Authority meeting tomorrow? Is Gary Bettman coming to town to put the screws to the Centennial Authority, you know, one last time before, you know, Debbie leaves?
So Gary's coming to help Tom get his scoreboard?
Yes. Or maybe he's coming to help Tom get that nice downtown arena that he wants.
I don't think it would be something like that. I mean, they're not. I don't think they would announce that he's going to meet with the media if it's not just a good announcement. Because I think those kind of conversations can happen over the phone. Or Gary just truly doesn't need to be involved in those kind of conversations.
You're probably right. I mean, because Gary Bettman always does what's right by the fans and, you know, is never disappointed when, you know, he steps in front of a microphone. It's not his style. I have a question for Mike Sundheim, who I know actively is probably listening to this podcast since he, you know, has nothing to do after the trade deadline.
Hi, Mike.
Where do the fans congregate to boo at 5 o'clock tomorrow is the question.
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, because Gary Bettman without fans booing him is not really Gary Bettman, is he?
No, well, you know where Gary Bettman sets up when he's at the arena, South Lawn. Right, they'll probably have a little makeshift stage like they set up for St. Baldrick's and other events there. Yes, Meg, I see.
I have speculation.
Yes.
Tomorrow is my birthday. Maybe he's throwing me a birthday party.
Bettman loves the memes, wants to come and say thank you and throw you a little birthday.
I think we've cracked this case wide open.
Nailed it.
Officially tomorrow, Meg is the Cane of Uncertainty.
I was like, no, Bet... You, Meg.
Gary Bettman, Cane of Uncertainty?
The Commissioner of Uncertainty.
I got work to do tonight. Yeah. I got some Photoshop to work on.
Quality Photoshop work, by the way. Guys, this is Cheaters Never Win. We should probably drop an intro here at some point, but we're just going to sit here and talk, and you know, you're going to listen, and damn it, you may or may not like it. If you like it, please write and review us. That'd
please like it.
If trade deadline coverage and hours and hours of content from professionals at TSN and Sportsnet have taught me anything, it's that you can fill trade deadline day content with literally anything the hell you want.
Including a guy dressed up as a llama.
Yes.
Who, in, I believe, 3 hours, had more Twitter followers than it took us 6.5 years to cultivate.
Bully for that.
Yeah. Good for them. Do we even want to talk about the Canes' moves for the day?
I mean, we did. But
we talked about one of two moves. The Canes made two big moves today. Let's talk
the
about
other
the one
future
no one,
considerations.
No one else wants to talk about the keystone, the gem, dare I say, the diamond in the rough of the Jeff Skinner trade haul, Derek. If Canes' Twitter talk,
I mentioned that.
If Canes' Twitter taught me anything today, it's that we undersold on Jeff Skinner, and we got nothing except Tomas Yurko.
A guy with an AHL contract.
Yeah.
And a third and a sixth.
And a third and a sixth.
And some future considerations that we may have to give back.
Now, and look.
We also gave them future considerations.
Look, these future considerations could be anything, right? They could
be a boat.
It could be a boat. It could be a gift card to Bahama Breeze. Maybe they'll see Petey Pablo there. He can do a new song for the team. Maybe the future consideration is 3 first-round picks.
Maybe it's Jeff Skinner.
Yeah. Tell me it's not.
How great would it be consideration is a Jeff Skinner bobblehead?
I'm going to set up a table out at a quad somewhere and just say the future considerations is Jeff Skinner. Prove me wrong.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, gosh. I mean, because you could see that coming a mile away, right? As soon as they said, you know, the Canes have traded Jeff Pooh or Cliff Pooh for... Can we call him Jeff Pooh since he's not one of us anymore?
Jeffy Pooh?
Cliff Skinner.
Yeah, and Cliff Skinner for a bunch of jerkos. I don't even know what to do with this. I mean, that was it. Here's what the Canes didn't do today. They didn't break up team chemistry. and trade Michael Ferland. Meg, how do you feel about the team not breaking up team chemistry?
I'm glad that they're not going to be sad and can play hockey like professional men.
But Meg, the chemistry per 60 on this team is currently through the roof. If I look at the...
So you're saying their PDO is high?
I'm saying their
chemistry
above,
PDO.
Their chemistry above replacement per dollar spent on tunes from iTunes in the locker room post game is really league best right now.
All right.
I mean, how do you replace that, you know, for trading Michael Ferland for a potential package of picks?
Well, I don't have any problem with them keeping Michael Ferland because I suspect that they probably weren't offered that much on the market for him in the first place. So I totally get keeping him because his value to the team is probably better than what they got offered. But I don't think any of that value involves whether or not they're going to be sad if he leaves.
You know, it's funny because I hadn't really thought about it too much until we were all in the 328 Slack that Mike, not everyone knows about. We were talking about the team having a sad and all that, and the dichotomy between the answers that hockey men give whenever they're asked about the game or whatever it is they need to do, and the concern about team chemistry and personalities. It's like Meg, you're saying, are you guys professionals? Like, sure, it helps if you know you like the people that you work with, but you're professionals in a sports league competing for a championship. Like, I don't care if Dougie Hamilton's going to Moxie's or not with the team. Is he good on the ice? Yes. Fantastic. I think it's just really funny to me to see such stuffy people so concerned with, oh, we gotta build the room right.
Can't touch the room.
Yeah.
Hey, Derek, if I've learned anything in the 6 seasons of doing this podcast, you don't have to like the people you work with to be successful.
Touché, sir. Touché.
I mean,
define success.
At one point during the day, we had more followers than Trady.
Maybe the real iTunes subscriber count is the friends we made along the way, Mike.
Exactly. To Meg's point, though, if you look at what Philadelphia got for Wayne Simmonds, they got Ryan Hartman, who's basically a jackass pain in the ass, who's going to fit in perfectly in Philadelphia, and a conditional fourth-round pick. Can you just fathom Kane's Twitter if we had gotten Ryan Hartman and a fourth-round pick for Michael Ferland?
You might as well keep him.
Yeah, I mean, that's mm-hmm. the value.
There would be rioting in the streets.
Well, so I guess I take issue with the whole positioning the keeping Michael Ferland as, well, we don't want to break up chemistry in the room. Well, all you have to say is, you know, we have more value in keeping him because he brings goals, he brings grit, sandpaper, whatever you want to call it. But you don't have to say it's because we don't want to break up the chemistry in the room. It just seems absurd on its face.
But maybe Michael Ferland also brings delicious baked goods from home. And people love that. Maybe that's the chemistry.
What kind of chemistry is in those baked goods?
I don't know. I think I'm gonna start calling him sweet treats. Not to his face, of course. He'd punch me.
You don't know. He might be a nice guy. Mike Ferland. Yeah. Mike Ferland.
Mike Ferland seems like the type of guy who would bring cupcakes and not punch you in the face. Michael Ferland,
Michael
spelled
Ferland.
EAL. Yeah, that guy.
But Mike, okay.
You know, punting you square in the crotch. Right?
I guess.
Hey, Michael Ferland, if you'd like to come on the video portion of this podcast, it actually kicked Derek.
No. We are not Rochambeauing for future considerations. Absolutely not.
I can't top that, Derek.
Yes. Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, hour 37. Of Trade Center, the Cheaters Never Win edition. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
I'm Meg.
And I'm confused.
I don't know why.
Cliff Bloom's no longer a hurricane.
You don't know what to do with your hands now? Like, just,
I have no idea what to do with my poo.
Just gonna move on.
It's gonna be one of those episodes. Still, the this uh, this 42nd hour of Trade Center brought to you by Sports Channel 8, the radio show. Sports Channel 8, the radio show. I like to listen to it nude.
Again, not touching that one.
When Hayes was here, what, a week or so ago when we were recording mean tweets, that the video that we put out, thanks to Hayes and the whole Sports Channel 8 crew for helping us produce that. And by helping, we mean producing that and doing all of it for us.
Yeah. Hey, Hayes, we got a great idea. You want to come work?
Yeah.
All right, awesome.
But I shared with Hayes that, you know, I generally listen in the shower, and he confirmed that that's probably the best way to listen. As long as you listen, he didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's great.
So allow us to extend that story to all the people listening to this podcast right now. We really are not concerned what state of dress you're in.
No. No, absolutely not.
I care.
Okay. this podcast.
Meg wants everyone wearing full-length footy pajamas.
Or culottes. And a tuck.
Don't at me with that. No, I don't. I was going to say, tweet me your footy pajamas, but I really don't want to see them. So,
I was also
imagine.
Hey, I was thinking everybody go to tweet at Love and Hydrogen.
No.
What is your preferred wardrobe when you're listening to Cheaters Never Win? You don't have to share like pictures or anything because that could get bad. But, you know, just share. Because, you know.
I was also thinking with Tomas Yurko, the way his name is spelled reminded me of JNCOs, and that'd be perfect for 90s night with the Devils if he had to play a hockey game wearing JNCOs.
Oh, what great production by the Devils, by that way.
That was great.
That
I
took
enjoyed that.
An absurd amount of time and effort
but
to,
I watched
to make that
video like five times. That was so good.
It was so damn well done.
And anything that involves Patrick Warburton is okay by me. The man raises like $20 million a year for St. Jude.
Does he really?
Yeah, yeah. He does like this big, massive golf thing. He's a pretty phenomenal dude when it comes to helping out kids.
All right, here's peak hockey content, trade deadline hockey content. For the room here, Meg, I'll start with you. Better voice, Patrick Warburton or H. John Benjamin?
Oh, that's tough. H. John Benjamin, I'm going to have to go with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because H. John Benjamin, Archer. For those who may not be aware, correct?
Bob's Burger.
One of many.
And also Bob's Burger. But
and meat aficionado.
Also, but Patrick Warburton, Putty, also The Tick.
John Benjamin also did a jazz album that he cannot play any instruments. So there's that.
I think it's a draw.
They're both golden voices.
They are. Greats of our generation.
Was he Xander Cruz on Frisky Dingo?
I think so, because I'm pretty confident that Archer is basically Frisky Dingo.
Yeah.
In an office setting. For everybody listening, Frisky Dingo was a thing for a while.
For two seasons.
Yeah, I'm old and have no idea what.
Let's talk both episodes of the Extacles, shall we?
Oh. People are going, can they go back to talking wrestling anytime soon? It was that exact type of trade deadline, though. I mean, that's where all of these things could have happened. Everything happened late, and everything else that happened was kind of underwhelming.
So the big names on the block today were Stone, Simmons, what?
Kevin Hayes.
Okay, and all of them moved.
Yeah.
So
Panarin didn't move.
He didn't. I see. For me, those guys weren't as much on the move after Columbus took everything that Ottawa had.
They took literally everything that Ottawa had except Mark Stone.
They were there taking the shelving out of Ottawa.
Just walked right in there, took everything.
Well, and the fact that Melnick was like, you know what? I don't want to have to pay for an extra airplane ticket for either of these guys. Just take them while we're in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't trade Matt Duchene mid-game, because that's really how you should be trading Matt Duchene after he was traded from Colorado in the middle of an Islanders game.
So if we're looking at this whole thing, who was the big winner of this year's trade deadline? You know, of all 31 mm-hmm. National Hockey League teams, who came out of this year's trade deadline best off?
Not Jim Rutherford.
Okay, we've got one vote for not Jim Rutherford. Mike, where would you go?
I mean, the Vegas Golden Knights made out like bandits today.
Yeah.
I mean, with Mark Stone.
Would you say they made out like one-armed bandits?
No, I would not.
Oh, man.
I I think Vegas. I'm gonna go Vegas because I think Columbus went too far all in on this season and really have set themselves up for a lifetime of basically a generation of despair after they lose everything that they've done over the last, 6 to 12 months.
They only have a 3rd and a 7th round pick this coming draft.
That's
in Vancouver.
Columbus.
Yeah, Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
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 Just two picks.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said Vegas. I'm sorry.
No. So,
still looking up Xander Cruz.
Stay with us, Meg. You do important Frisky Dingo research. We've asked for a producer on this show for how long? And now we have Meg here, and she's looking up old Adult Swim voice actors.
I'm not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. So, Derek, what do you think?
Vegas is a good thought because Mark Stone was the best player who was moved today. But I think there's a lot to be said for what Nashville did. They didn't give up a whole lot. Yes, they gave up a younger player that has some talent in Kevin Fiala. But they got Mikael Granlund, who is very talented, a little bit older, but not old. I think he's, 26 versus Fiala's 22 or something along those lines. Does add more salary and some term, but they also added Wayne Simmonds for not much. Like you were talking about earlier, the return for Ferland, that never happened. If we got what Philly got for Simmonds, that would have been crappy. So they added a really skilled guy in Granlund. They added still a skilled guy, but a guy who's more willing to park his keister in front of the net in Wayne Simmonds. I think their power play is going to be a lot better, and they didn't have to give up a key piece from their active roster to get two good forwards.
Well, their power play has to get better because they are currently DFL in the league in terms of power play percentage.
Yes, it cannot get worse.
How is that possible with the Carolina Hurricanes power play the way it is?
Well, you see, Nashville doesn't have Justin Faulk yet.
Justin Faulk, he who has scored consecutive goals in consecutive games. He is coming around.
Well, he scored goals in consecutive games.
Sure, why not? English is hard.
Unless he was two-thirds the way to a natural hat trick in consecutive games.
I don't know. I don't pay.
Which I didn't watch the game against Dallas, so I'll have to defer to you.
It was enjoyable because we won, and it was it's a repeat of every time we play Dallas now. I'm just going to expect to win 3-0 forever.
It was a game.
It was a thing that happened.
Hey, Canes won. That's all that mattered. Yep. Okay, so who came out of this smelling like Jim Rutherford?
Meg, any thoughts?
Columbus. I mean, in the short term, they got a lot better, but they might lose all of those guys to free agency. Bobrovsky's gone. Panarin's gone. Duchesne probably gone. I mean, he might resign. Dezingle, is he UFA?
Yes.
Dezingle's UFA.
Oh, he'll be gone.
Well, see, I think Dezingle might stay because he went to Ohio State, so he might like it in Columbus.
Do you have opinions on Ohio State?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that Dezingle is now the 4th former Buckeye to play for Columbus, alongside RJ Umberger, Zach Dalpe, and I forget the 4th one.
Zach Dalpe.
I already said him.
But didn't he play there?
Oh, I'm sorry, Zachary Dalpe. Very similar to Zach Dalpe, but
butt draggered.
Yes.
The
reverse dragger. Don't look that up on Urban Dictionary.
But Columbus doesn't have any picks except the 3rd and the 7th. And I didn't even look. I should have had Cap Friendly up. I was too busy looking at Frisky Dingo. I don't think they have many picks in the following draft either.
Let's see. I'll take a look. Meg, stall for time.
Meg, stall you.
So I guess they're gonna gun for the Stanley Cup this year, and then what's going to happen after that? Who can say?
So even funnier, this year they have their own 3rd round pick, and their 7th round pick belongs to Calgary, who odds are I would say will probably make it deeper in the playoffs than Columbus will. Next year they do have a 1st, unless Duchesne resigns, and then they have already traded their 2nd and their 3rd.
And then they got rid of they got Kincaid. They didn't get rid of Corpusalo. But they're going to lose Bobrovsky, so their best case scenario next year is going to be Kincaid and Corpusalo and a lot of emoji tweets.
That's assuming Keith Kincaid resigns. He's a UFA.
He is a UFA, that's right. So they might just have Corpusalo and whoever else is in the pipeline there.
Wow.
Yikes.
Corpusalo and Peter Mrazek.
It's a bold prediction there, Mike.
It is a bold prediction. Because Curtis McElhenney would never, ever want to play in Columbus.
Again?
For the 10th time, it feels like. I'm just trying to go through mentally on the list, and I think I have to... And again, I know it's just bad luck, but isn't Jim Nill just dying right now?
If Zuccarello had not gotten hurt, would you be saying that?
No, absolutely not. But he basically got what's the guy who we got who played 47 seconds of one shift and
Wisniewski?
Yeah.
Basically he got Wisniewski'd, but in the second period, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he played two periods, gets a goal, gets an assist, and then gets a broken arm and he's out for at least 4 weeks. I heard today that he's having surgery, so that generally would say closer to 6 weeks. So we may not see Matt Zuccarello until at the earliest the playoffs, and that's if Dallas, who is currently the 8th seed, can hold on to that playoff spot.
Well, the West is a garbage fire, so that's still a possibility.
Absolutely a possibility. What, 6 points? 6 points behind the Hurricanes and still holding down the playoffs.
But I would say with Zuccarello getting hurt, Dallas's playoff chances are definitely going down. That one.
Next.
Next. Thank you. Next. So what the Canes are on? I believe I saw the tweet that the Canes are on a 164-point pace since February 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
We're currently on a 121-point pace since January 1st. What's it going
to be? That's just math, folks.
That is math. I love Derek Winston. The Canes are on a 162-point pace, you know, since February 22nd. The Canes are holding on, but they still have a couple of games against Washington. They've got to play Pittsburgh. They've got to play Toronto. They've got to go on the road. 20 games left. 72 points. How many? What does the Canes' record need to be over the next 6 weeks for the Canes to make the playoffs in the East?
I don't know what the record needs to be. I think they are going to need a total of 96 points to get in.
That's fair.
So whether they win 12, they win 11 and get 2 loser points, they win 10 and get 4 loser points. I don't care how it breaks down, but I think they're going to need 96 points.
They're also going to be facing Montreal, who they're behind, Pittsburgh. And do we have another game versus Columbus too, or are we done with Columbus?
I believe we're done with Columbus.
I don't know.
So that's the other three teams that we're chasing. We're probably going to have at least one matchup against each of them in the next 20 games.
And I believe at least one more game against Washington.
You're going to have
Washington
to win those games.
Oh, we are in Columbus March 15th.
All right. So we're going to have to, or they are going to have to win most of those games.
Yes. Just looking here, what's going to be fun is March 26th and 28th. We have a home and away against the Capitals. That'll be fun. I wish that we're on back-to-back nights.
They're only 5 points behind the Capitals.
Well, that's
with a game in hand.
Well, and the interesting thing about that, I do know there was a Canes season ticket giveaway. That actual March 28th game in Washington.
March 28th is here, baby.
I'm sorry. Okay, so the March 26th game is the game that the Canes are bussing up multiple busloads of season ticket members.
Nice.
Up to the Capital One Center.
So it's like a bus full of jerks.
I know some of the jerks on the bus, and yes, there will absolutely
bringing that jerk energy to Capital One Arena.
Gonna need that to be reworked.
Are we doing phrasing?
Yeah,
big jerk energy.
Absolutely not. Derek, worst caffeinated beverage ever.
I've got a t-shirt idea.
Okay, you're gonna have to produce that one. But no, the game on March 28th, Mike. That's 3/28 day, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Capitals in what might be a hashtag pivotal global event.
Hmm.
Ooh. Or an important hockey game.
Yeah, either way.
Either way.
I do miss that team email when the team made the Stanley Cup for the first time. Like, they were legitimately referred to Stanley Cup final games as pivotal global events.
It was in my life, Derek. Where were you?
But global? Global.
I mean, We had.
I don't think the Nikkei was affected in any way, shape, or form by Kane's attendance for Game 1 against Edmonton. Somebody please Google that.
Yeah. I'm sitting here.
Look at the Japanese markets from early June 06. Tell me if it fluctuated heavily based on Kane's attendance.
I don't even know where I would go to look that up.
Someone listening to this podcast does, and that's what I love about our listeners.
Oh, gosh. I would venture to say he works for a major IT company and lives in Seattle. I think the Canes need to get to 97, and that's the one that worries me, right? 97, you know, 97 points in the East means we need to go 12-6-1 to finish out the season. And I mean, I know Kane's gonna Kane, and you know, 18-6-1, whatever is what we've been. But doesn't that feel like? I mean, isn't the fall coming? I mean,
been waiting for it.
I mean, we've all been waiting for it, right? And that's mm-hmm. you know, Pittsburgh back to backs with Washington, big game in Columbus after they've signed literally the entire Ottawa Senators club, and the Senators have already embarrassed us once this season. It's gonna be like losing to Ottawa twice.
Yikes.
Has anybody done that?
I don't know.
I don't either. Also, shout out to Bill Peters because he added nothing at the trade deadline, or Brad Treliving didn't. And for that, I wish them well, and I hope he, you know, shits the bed in the first round. I can't Yikes. Wait. Let's talk. What's going to happen in the playoffs, Derek? What? Give me 15
teams will end the season on a sour note.
Give me your bold. Let's go bold predictions. Because there's no team changes, and all we have are just good games between now and then. And it's fun to be able to talk about fun Carolina Hurricanes games. But let's go, you know, restated bold predictions. Let's go big, bold, and what was our big, bold, and
bad?
Big, bold, and bad. Let's go big, bold, and bad right now here, completely unrehearsed. What is your big? This big prediction for the playoffs this year.
I would like to defer to Meg.
No, I asked.
Oh, you come to me. Okay,
I did.
I was trying to throw the hot potato over. I stall for time.
Yeah.
Big prediction for the playoffs. Oh, Jesus. Chicago gets in.
Ooh, that is. I said big, not bad, but okay. Actually, that's actually not bad because Corey Crawford's coming back tonight.
Ward in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You gonna bring that to the world?
No. If we know one thing about my predictions, they never work out.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, Meg, big playoff prediction.
Mm-hmm. Now I was gonna stall. Big playoff prediction. Tampa doesn't win the cup. They're the clear favorite, but they don't win the cup.
It's big. I'll take that. It's big. It's not necessarily bold, but it's big. I like that. My big playoff prediction. Bill Peters wins zero games in the playoffs.
Oh.
Zero.
See, I would say that's bold.
It is bold.
No, that's not bold.
That's not bold.
Bold would be Bill Peters winning a game in the playoffs.
Wow.
Rat bastard. Hope he chokes on his
Settle
water.
Down. Settle down.
I hate him so much. Make a fucking save, why don't you?
Is he drinking that chunky style water up in Calgary now?
I hear Flint slip ships their water in for him.
Wow.
Salty much?
More lead.
Yeah, it's more lead, actually. Derek,
it's not Dasani.
Bold prediction.
Bill Peters doesn't. No. Bold prediction for the playoffs. I think. Oh, God. Not. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I made my big prediction. I will say that neither of the top seeds from the conferences makes it to the final.
It was just my prediction, but you spanned across conferences.
That's right. So I took your regular font and I made it thicker. So that's bold.
And double spaced it.
Oh God, no. No.
It's the you didn't say kerning on that.
You didn't say make a horrible kerning prediction.
All right, Meg, bold prediction.
Okay, so everyone's predicting that Columbus is not going to win a playoff series still, even with all this. But I'm going to say they do win a playoff series, but they're out in the second round.
Ooh, so basically what you're saying is either they're going to beat Pittsburgh, Washington, or Carolina in the first round of the playoffs.
Except they're not. None of them are going to win a cup. Pittsburgh, right. Washington, and Carolina have all won a cup. They are not going to win a cup.
Yeah, that is. Yes. Yes. They're not going. Wait a second. Are you? Did Meg just predict the New York Islanders are going to the Stanley Cup final? I mean, because, okay, so Tampa's not getting, you already said Tampa's not getting there, and you said Columbus is going to win round one.
I feel like that meme with the lady with the math in front of her face.
Well, okay.
There's Toronto and Boston
they're
left.
They're going to win round two.
Pittsburgh's going to be in there, you think?
Pittsburgh might be in there. But
I got it. Laura is taller than Steve.
My bold prediction, Wayne Simmonds will be your playoffs MVP.
Hmm.
So you say Nashville's going to go all the way?
Nashville's going to win the cup.
Okay.
Because I heard earlier that Tampa's not going to win it from a very reliable source.
Winnipeg still exists.
Who?
Paul Maurice's
their coach, stomping ground. Their coach, also awful.
So, Mike, who are you rooting for if, by some chance, there's a Winnipeg-Calgary playoff series, and why is it a sinkhole?
I will be actively rooting for Winnipeg because at least Paul Maurice did something while he was here, whereas Bill Peters, ran out every personable person associated with this franchise ever.
Moving on.
Meg obviously is not comfortable with the Bill Peters hate. I'm enjoying this.
Also, inject all the Patrick Laine in national media into my veins.
Yeah. I mean,
now that he's finally remembered how to score goals, which is nice.
Give me just June bearded Patrick Laine. If I can't have Pernell Carl and our former love of the Wayne train. His career has fallen off a bit, but I mean, two of the nicest guys.
Mm-hmm.
Bad prediction, Derek.
This segment will continue.
Meg?
The Canes missed the playoffs.
Oh. She said it,
I
folks.
I said it.
Yep.
Yep.
Went there.
If the Canes miss the playoffs, send them to at Leverage and Love and Hydrogen. What were you wearing when the Canes missed the playoffs? That joke's just going to keep coming back around.
Yeah.
It's awful. My bad prediction is...
And see, I've always wondered with this, does the bad prediction mean that it's just like a completely ludicrous prediction or that you're predicting something bad?
Well, I think the definition of bad prediction is predicting something bad.
Okay. Fair.
My bad prediction will be Dallas makes it to the second round. And Matt Zuccarello scores the game winner in game 7 of round 1.
And how is that bad?
Because it's not going to happen.
Meg just said it's predicting something bad, not making a low-quality prediction.
I mean, no one wants to see Dallas in round 2. I mean, everybody wants Dallas to go down.
But
went a long way to set up that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for playing, Derek. We have a guest. We could go to the Dawn from Fathom Realty
Please
guest
do.
Line and
yes.
I could interview a guest.
Why don't you do that, Mike?
Fine.
This is Dawn Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
And this is normally the spot where Paul from Fox Sports Carolinas would hop in, but unfortunately, due to some technical and scheduling difficulties, we had to reschedule Paul this week. So, again, our apologies to everybody who was looking forward to that conversation, but we promised to have him on in a future episode, so just ignore the part where we said, hey, thanks, Paul, because, he's great and awesome, but here's the rest of the podcast. Thanks to Paul, a.k.a. Chopper, for those who work at Fox Sports Carolina, for doing that interview with us. Derek, this is the part of the program where we would normally go to cheat mail, but all of the cheat mail questions, I think, were mainly buried.
Oh!
Did you get some?
Yes.
You got some cheat mail. Cheat mail. Gotta go get some.
Cheat mail.
Thank you, Meg. So here's one from Andrew D. Lasky underscore 12.
Respect the underscore.
Thank you. I'll go to Meg first on this one. How does having Jordan stall back affect our lines?
He comes back into the lineup and plays hockey like we had him do every year because he's been on our team for years now. So he will come back into the lineup. That's my very smart answer to that.
We don't have to overslot Walmart. We can if we need to, but we don't necessarily have to.
But
I guess.
I thought he was the big playoff acquisition.
Oh, no, that was Michael Ferland. Mike Ferland, according to Darren Dreger.
This one from our buddy Patrick M. at Generation X-Wing. Mike, tacos or taquitos?
Oh, tacos.
Yeah.
That's easy, I think.
I Meg, tacos, taquitos, do you have a preference?
Yeah, tacos.
Okay, I'm three for three then.
Yeah.
What do you think the Bettman announcement would be about? I already had that one. Here's one that I liked. This certainly should not be a divisive question at all. This is from Zach Turner at ZTurner27. Parents are new to Raleigh, need best barbecue suggestions in the Triangle.
Ooh. The best barbecue is not in the Triangle.
I agree.
Best barbecue is actually east of the Triangle.
I agree.
Yep.
I would say take a 45-minute drive out Highway 64 to Nashville, North Carolina. Go get yourself some Doug Saul's barbecue. It is delicious. Do not get smokes from the vending machine because they're a little stale.
They still have a cigarette vending machine there?
Yes. It's Nashville, North Carolina, Derek.
How are they on dial-up internet? Has that made it out there?
No.
Okay. Meg, best barbecue?
Well, if you're going to go in the Triangle.
Yes.
And if you want to stay in the Triangle. In downtown Raleigh. What's the name of the place that's not the Pit in downtown Raleigh?
Clyde Cooper's?
Clyde Cooper's. It's probably it.
That's a very solid choice.
Yeah.
For me, I'm with both of you, Triangle is not the place to get the best barbecue. You do have to go further east. For me, in the Triangle, the best barbecue that I've had is the Backyard Barbecue Pit on 54 in Durham. It looks like a place where you're not really sure what their restaurant grade is. The building looks like it might fall apart. Everything is served in styrofoam, and it's fantastic. It is really, really good barbecue. So that's the best I've had in the Triangle.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I think that was really all that we didn't get to cover already.
Well, good. Did we drink beer today, Derek?
I did.
But since we're kind of a weird middle of the afternoon, we have not actually made our way over to Bottle Mix yet to figure out what the Section 328 Beer of the Week is going to be.
Correct.
So if you would like to maybe give us a couple of suggestions on what type of beer you'd like to see us review this week when Derek makes his way over to talk to Bottle Mix. Where's Bottle Mix again, Derek?
They're on Creedmoor Road, about a mile south of 540, a few miles north of Crabtree. They're up on the left. They are behind a big Brennan Station sign that has the names of multiple businesses, none of whom pay for us to mention them. So I'll just say they're there behind, let's say, a donut franchise with which you may be familiar, and a
House of Square Meat.
Yes, there we go.
And who should they go see when they go to Bottle Mix for their beer suggestions?
Talk to Bruce, talk to Ellen, don't talk to Vinny or Ron about beer. They're better with wine. And there's a guy named Jameson there who sells beer and wine, but he's named after a whiskey.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all good people. So go check them out. A really good time to check them out is going to be Thursday evening of this week, February 28th. They're doing a Southern Pines limited release Imperial Stout. It's a White Russian Imperial Stout. And I trust Southern Pines to do something kind of funky like that. So they're going to have a good time this Thursday. They've got First Friday wine tasting going on this Friday evening. All kinds of cool events. Lots of reasons to go to Bottle Mix. Tell them we said that, you know, we sent you there. And also thinking of Dawn, the official realtor of Section 328, has her open houses, and she mentioned on Twitter, if you follow her at @Kaniac_realtor, that she was giving away some stuff to the first people who came by the open house and mentioned Section 328.
Which is awesome. And again, no one's taken us up on the buying a house from Dawn and drinking a beer in said house while wearing some of the Section 328 merch. Whomever does that is going to win something. And it's going to be spectacular.
We'll have to figure it out. We hope we have to figure it out.
Like, someone reached out to us and said, hey, if I buy a house from Dawn, are you guys going to, like, buy me season tickets in Section 328? And we're like, that might be a little rich for our blood, but you could sit with us for a game or two.
Yeah.
Meg, anything else as the Hounds of War are pounding on the door here? Any final words for the people? Thank you for coming by and helping us hold down this now, the 57th hour of Trade Center coverage here in Raleigh.
Thanks for following.
Meg, I got to be honest, the way these hours have rolled by, Mike said we started this, it was hour 27 of coverage. It does not feel like 30 hours have gone by, so thank you for making this so much fun.
Well, I'm just so delightful in my intelligent commentary.
And Meg, important question. Was John Benjamin the voice of Xander Cruz?
No, he was not. It was Adam Reed.
Ah! Well, now you have it.
I feel like I need to, like, be, like, go look this stuff up.
Yes.
Well, it is not kid friendly, so don't go look it up when your child is awake.
And Mike, I just want to say, when you start watching it, welcome to You Are Doom.
I have no idea what the hell is going on. I've lost complete control of this podcast.
I'm sorry.
We'll do
Thanks
better.
Thanks for following.
We'll do better next time. Until next time, my name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
I'm Meg.
And I think we're out of here.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.